Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, good afternoon, welcome to Redmen News, I'm Ross Chanley. Errol Smith is back, you asked for him, he was coming in anyway, but it's irrelevant, he's here. The love for you in the comments yesterday, mate.
I know, nice one. Thank you all the guys on YouTube, man.
You're not a wool and you talk loads of sense, mate. People will love that shit.
YouTube comments are bad, I don't even watch them half the time. But yeah,
nice to have you back. A bit of news to go through. First of all, Errol, Liverpool have announced their accounts for the end of May 2019, and they've made £42 million profit. That's including spending £223 million invested in Jurgen Klopp's side, the wage bill, and some of the debt owed to FSG in the main stand loan. And the first thought I thought was, spending all that money and still making a profit is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I think from a business perspective, it just shows how healthy we are as a club. You've got to just be happy that especially with all the news that has come out over the last couple of weeks about other teams in the Premier League, you know, having further investigations into their own finances and
I've seen any of that.
You're not seeing it? No. Well, it's out there.
I'll have a little look after this.
But effectively, it's just nice to know that, you know, the profits there, the shape of the club is in a healthy condition. Obviously, the stuff with the main stands being taken care of as well, and that's all been included within that. And it's just nice to say that, yeah, we're heading in the right direction and we're in a healthy place, and I hope some of that £42 million profit goes into some future players in the next transfer window.
Well, I've not mentioned them either, but we'll come on to that in a minute as well. So the record turnover of £533 million also confirmed end of May 2019. If you go on goal.com in this article, you're going to explain the growth of the social accounts as well, how good they are at that. And on that, after you watch this, go and watch Liverpool's promotion they've done with the Coconut Water Company. I can't remember how to pronounce it, but it's fucking amazing. It's really good. They've got the signs of Alisson Becker, Navicator, Fabinho, Shaqiri are all in there. They've increased players' wages on top of that and are still able to perform and balance the books. The training facility, which we haven't mentioned as well, is included in that as well. And all the commercial stuff that's going with that. I don't think this includes the night deal on top of that. So you think going forward, I think you're right in what you're saying is, it's being sensible with what you've got and like not spending any money last summer was so easy to do. But they can look at that now and go, actually, we're going to make profit and things will only get better.
Yeah, and you know, it puts us in a strong position when you do want to, obviously, that whole financial fair play thing and being sustainable and stuff. You know, when we are then looking to buy a marquee sign and the books are there to be able to say, right, go and get the man, whoever that man may be.
Might be this man, who we spoke about quite a lot last week, and it's still in my head now, but we've got something else to talk about. Werner is waiting on Liverpool, and they have till April to complete the £51 million move. This is according to The Athletic. It's by Simon Hughes and Rafa Honigstein. Rafa Honigstein obviously does a lot of the German stuff as well. It goes on to talk about Klopp and how good he is and him being happy at Liverpool and his wife. But The Athletic understands Werner has already received proposals from Barcelona and Manchester United, but is waiting whether to see Liverpool make a move. There's a clause in his contract which means he can agree a £51 million move away as long as it's negotiated before the deadline in April, which would then give Leipzig longer to make their own plans to replace him for next season. It was put to The Athletic by a key source this week that if Klopp chooses to go for Werner, who has 28 goals this season, negotiations are most likely to start in the middle of March. That is a month when discussions really got going in the previous years on the eye-catching deals that brought in Fabinho, Alisson from Monaco and Roma respectively.
I think that's a good time as well, considering where we're going to be at by hopefully middle of March. I think, you know, Klopp can then turn the league focus, even obviously the league will be touch wood, will be wrapped up in the fact that we'll be Premier League winners this season. But then he can look at how can I improve for next season's Premier League. He already knows that there will still be FA Cups to play this year and Champions League. But in terms of how you add firepower into next year's squad, you know, it'd be a good time to go in at the end of March and just say, look what we just achieved. Fancy coming.
Yeah, and you can have that in your back pocket as well, as along with everything else. Trump card with European champions, world champions, Premier League champions on top of that. I find it really interesting. So over the next month, they should really step up, shouldn't it? And, you know, Liverpool are really good at keeping things quiet, and it's frustrating as a fan to go and do that. It's also frustrating when it's your job to do it, of like just checking your phone every 5 minutes going, oh shit, this is going to get done. But I think someone did a tweet before, and again it came up, and we might have discussed this at some point, Errol, of game time there. So it's in the article there. If Matt can just put this on screen, obviously Klopp is thinking about his attacking options for next season because of the scheduling of the Olympics, which means Salah won't really miss any, because I think the Premier League might start at
the weekend after that.
Oh, no, it's the weekend off. It starts early in the season.
Okay.
But then the AFCON's come into that, and then, you know, what does it mean for Lallana and Shaqiri, who are both expected to leave? And it's the same stuff of like, which one of the front three has to go? And like, they don't.
Yeah.
We can have all four of them, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the amount of games that are gonna take place from the start of the next season till the end of it. You know, even if, again, in the event that we ended up in another Club World Cup Championship, that, you know, we'd have to defend it. So there'd be a commitment somewhere else at some side of the world in the middle of probably December again. There obviously is going to be the AFCON that the likes of Naby Keita, Mane, and Salah are all going to take part in. So there will we will need support for the likes of Firmino, because he's going to have a lot's going to rest on his shoulders. So having, you know, another world class forward in and amongst all that. And it's healthy for competition. The one thing I don't want personally as a fan is I don't want our front three to feel stale or feel any sort of complacency, to feel entitled to get in that starting squad. If you've got a guy that's chipping away at your heels, that's like, oh, I want to get in. I know I'm not good enough, but I'm going to prove that if I put the work in and the training pitch, I'll get a look in. You know, these other guys up front then are going to have to step up their game that little bit more. Healthy competition.
But also it's unfathomable to think that they can go to another level. But you're right, of having, it's healthy competition, isn't it? And someone on their toes. But also, they play a hell of a lot of football as well, don't they? You mentioned, you know, the national competitions, respectively, that they will go to, and not having a break in the summer and stuff like that. And we'd be dead lucky with injuries. If you can have someone, and I've said this before loads of times, like, for example, next week, we've got Watford, Chelsea, and then I think it might be Bournemouth afterwards. Might be wrong there. But, like, why don't you take the fucking game off?
Yeah.
And you'd be fit for the next game?
I've said it for a while, and, you know, going back to looking at what City have been able to do. Obviously, this season, you haven't had Sané in that same way, but the likes of when it's either, you know, a Champions League game midweek, and you can go Sterling and Mahrez one side, and then come back to the league the next week, and it can be Bernardo Silva, and it can be Sané on the wing, and, you know, Aguero's still up front. You're not losing. There's no drop-off of quality
if you do that kind of
rotation. I think Liverpool need to get into that position.
If you're one of the front three, you can have that attitude of, like, oh, someone pushing me. But also, do you not think it's part of them that would be glad of a rest? And like, I know they want to play every game and they want to score every game, particularly, you know, Man and Salah have that little competition going for the golden boot and stuff like that. But it must be part of them, like, just go, sound, I can rest and I can perform better in the next
game.
Well,
I think as well, having that weight of winning a Premier League off the back will give them that. I think none of them want to rest until they've got it. But then once they're in a position where they know, yeah, we are Premier League winners, then, yeah, I do want to preserve my body, because some of them will have other moves in their mind in the next 12 to 18 months that they want to do and be able to still give the best for that team or whatever. And some of them will be like, well, now, yeah, that little rest does mean when I do get a game for Liverpool, I can play at my optimum every single time. And my body is well looked after as well. It's not getting burnt out.
Okay, enough there in the talk now. Fuck, I've had enough of it this week. Liverpool set to poach Manchester City physio as backroom reshuffle continues. Liverpool set to poach physio Steve Lilly from Manchester City. I think they're getting Arsenal's doctor, but Richie Parkes used to play for Liverpool, as you remember him. He's leaving for the Cardiff national team. And again, it's kind of the top of the show. We talk about, you know, getting the financial stuff right. On the pitch, we were absolutely amazing. And I think, you know, refreshing the backroom staff isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's definitely not. I think having top quality professionals in and around those players anyway is always going to help them in those specifics, especially when it comes to like recovering after matches and that whole process with the physios and stuff. And obviously the work that he's been doing as part of that City backroom staff over the last couple of years, it's been impressive, because obviously their players have been performing at a very high quality and a high standard.
They recover very quickly as well, some of them, don't they? Yeah. And don't get sent off to Barcelona for emergency treatment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I think as well, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the first of a couple of City professionals that came and came down at M62 and found themselves working from Melwood and a new training ground next year.
Exactly. Liverpool have agreed a Lugis deal. Struck a new partnership with food waste company Lugis, so part of the Reds Going Green initiative, which I only was only privy to a couple of weeks ago when I went to go and see about the Anfield stand, but you know, they're building a new stand, they're trying to be economically friendly as possible, but this kind of plays into that as well. I think it's good for a promotion, reducing carbon footprint and stuff. It's, you know, a pretty huge topic in the world at the minute.
Absolutely, and I think it's just another good, without saying it's just pure marketing, it's not, because there is some real thinking behind it as well, and they are practicing what they preach, but on that front as well, it does show the type of club and the brand that we want to be moving forward for the future. And I think, you know, like a lot of things, Liverpool lead the way, and I wouldn't be surprised if other big top six or top Premier League teams did start using other companies like this to reduce their carbon footprints.
It's a lot for the local community as well, isn't it? You know, it must be, you know, obviously disturbing. We're having match days and the amount of waste that goes around, the amount of food that they make, and, you know, everything else. It's good for them, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think that whole side of the city, that's going to get regenerated as well on the back of the extensions that have been planned. I think it just will make that whole general area in and around Anfield, the ground, a lot better and a lot more inviting to people, especially if you're not local to Liverpool as
Shearer said Liverpool freaks likely to go invincible. It's a bit harsh, that, but Alan Shearer's lauded Liverpool and laughed off suggestions that the Premier League is weak, simply stating that Jurgen Klopp's Red have been too good. Leading goal scorer, Premier League reckons Liverpool are unlikely to lose in the next 11 games. He said, I know it's hard, I know it's the end of February, mathematically it hasn't been sad yet, but yes, Liverpool are going to win it. Mm-hmm. In terms of competition, Liverpool have had a freak season. It would not surprise me at all if they went through the season undefeated, just like Arsenal did. Other clubs are in transition, Man City, Tottenham, blah, 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 and have had a brilliant season in terms of where they are, but I don't think it's a negative on the standard of the Premier League at all. It's just Liverpool have been that good and others have found it difficult to keep up with them.
Do you reckon he watched us yesterday?
I reckon he watched. Almost word for word,
It's true, and I'm glad he's speaking sense, and he's not being biased in any way, shape or form, and he's basically calling how he sees it, and, you know, it's easier nowadays if you're in punditry to try and be controversial, to try and obviously get the clicks up for whatever.
Media, like Carlton Cole yesterday.
Like I said, Mr. Cole yesterday. But Shearer's just being really honest with it. And I think, as well, I don't know about City being in a transition. Maybe the state of the club is more transitional than the state of the current squad. But he's bang on the money there for me, as far as I'm concerned. In terms of going invincible, we had this discussion yesterday on the roundup. I could take it or leave it. I just want the next four games win. W's for the next four games.
And then you're happy. As Aaron mentioned there, we did the Reds News roundup yesterday and we did something a bit different. So we basically kind of stopped, appreciated of how good this Liverpool side are. We went through all the records that they've broken so far and all the potential ones, including the individual honours like Trent of getting these equal assists so far this season. Yeah. So if you want more Errol, you're going to have to cough up £5 a month. But it's free for your first month, so you can go and do that when you're ready, once you finish watching this. Matt, some questions and comments, please.
Yeah, start with a super chat.
Oh, thank
you. From Trig Josh. It says, Ross, RE Reds Go Green, do you have any information about LFC going carbon neutral or carbon negative with renewable energies?
Not as of yet. The only stuff where I heard it was the last week or the week before when we went to the Anfield Road extension, and talking about how they kind of reduce the carbon footprint that they're doing, the waste that they have on, you know, materials and stuff that they use, using transport when they're going in and out of Anfield to come do that. But maybe there will be more, can find out probably.
Cool. Rob D had a good comment on Liverpool making a profit. It says, profit shows the club has run well on and off the pitch. Yeah. Plenty of opportunity to use the profit in the summer to strengthen our team and also put some towards the new Anfield Road end and have some change left over. That kind of brings me on to the next topic about Werner, but it's opened up a discussion as well about Origi and whether he'll stay or go. Just a few thoughts on that. Don Ellis saying Origi's going to have to go if we get Werner in. AJ says the same. What does this mean for Origi? Dave says we should keep him. Obina says I want to keep Origi, but will he want to stay if Werner comes in? And Isabel says Divock will go nowhere. Werner and Origi are all cover for the front three.
I don't think there's an issue having five people for three spots at all.
I don't think they have. If you looked at like that 08-09 Man U squad, I think they had Berbatov, I think they had Rooney, they had Tevez, they had Ronaldo, they had Nani. So there was like five that you could have rotated, and all of them on the day were, you know, were mustered, really, to be fair. So I think we could definitely do the same. And I think what we probably missed in terms of when we had Sturridge, Ariga had a template to go off in terms of how a striker should play for Liverpool, and he could be kind of Sturridge mode because he was very good at being a striker. Since we've got this front three, there's no real striker, so there's no one really for Origi to emulate, so he's had to find his best tools and use them sparingly.
And he plays a lot on the left, doesn't he?
And he plays a lot on the left. So with someone like Werner, I think it's bringing someone back in-house that he can be in and around, that knows how to find the back of the net from the whole front three. And I think he'd probably pick up a little bit from him in the same way that I've said before, Trent Defo picks up stuff from Shaqiri because he's got that wand of a left foot. So it's like, you know, you might not be getting the game time all the time, but you're still learning from great professionals. So I wouldn't want to lose Origi. Origi's a legend. He still is a legend. So, yeah, he can stay for as long as he wants.
I think you've also got the likes of Curtis Jones who can play in that position as well. You know, you don't necessarily need to spend money. And then if you sell, if Lallana goes, Shaqiri, in my opinion, will probably go as well. Harry Wilson, depending on what you're doing with him, like you sell, get rid of those.
There's
the money and the wages for a team of Werner, and you essentially spent nothing.
And on top of the profit as well, you put the profit in with the sales together. You're flying, aren't you? Really?
Then we can get Sancho as well, can't we? One more, Matt.
Some interesting stuff on Bobby. Actually, a few people are wanting to know whether the rumours of him going to Bayern are true.
Right, this came up yesterday and it was going to put in the news agenda. I decided not to put it in because it's from Duncan Castles and he's a bell end. So they discussed it on a podcast or something, didn't they? So like there might have been some interest there. Bobby's going nowhere. Bobby's the system, isn't he?
Yeah, everything starts with Bobby, do you know what I mean? Especially in terms of how we play the press, everything, the reading of his game. There is no one else that we could get to come and play Bobby's role. I get why the Bayern is the link because...
He used to play in Germany.
Yeah, he used to play in Germany and he is a little bit Müller-esque. So I could see him being that replacement, but there's no chance he's leaving us to join them. There's just no chance.
Good. Yeah, no more Bobby leaving talk, please, because I'll get very upset. Thank you very much for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with some more news. Hopefully we'll see with Werner. Hopefully something more interesting that we don't already know. Thank you to Errol for joining us again. Are you back tomorrow? Are you going to come in tomorrow?
Yeah, I should be back in time for the news tomorrow.
Half 12 tomorrow. More Errol. Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.